Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today I wanted to talk about how therapists, counselors, and other people in the healing professions can learn to recognize narcissism in couples or family therapy. There is a tragic lack of understanding about this, so I thought it would be an important video to make, and hopefully it will help. Now, victims of narcissistic abuse know that couples or family therapy with a narcissist is just a nightmare. Seen by narcissistic people as just another opportunity to triangulate someone against the victim and to win, it is often spectacularly unsuccessful. In fact, many times it actually makes the situation worse. Well-meaning but uninformed therapists and counselors can actually do a lot of damage to victims of narcissistic abuse because they do not understand the dynamics of these relationships. Things that work in a relationship where there is no pathology present do not work in situations that involve narcissists. In fact, many times it is the exact wrong thing to do. Situations that involve a pathologically narcissistic person must be handled differently. For example, the focus of therapy generally is not on repairing the relationship or facilitating communication with the narcissist because this is just simply not possible. Focus would then generally be on supporting the victim and helping them to understand what's going on. We've seen it over and over again. A well-intentioned therapist is manipulated by a narcissist and weaponized into just another object to attack the victim with. Even when the narcissist is gone or when they're not participating in therapy, that lack of understanding is still a huge problem. I hear it every single day. My therapist is no help because they just don't understand. We want to try to bridge that gap. So here are five guidelines that might be helpful when dealing with clients who are reporting abuse. Number one, don't assume that the person who seems emotionally dysregulated is automatically the problem. Many times, victims of narcissistic abuse have been literally tortured, and they are unable to regulate their emotions any longer. Number two, don't ignore divergent realities. When two people have a completely different recall or understanding of events, this should be a huge red flag, because that is not normal. Number three, don't assume that something's not true because it sounds unbelievable. Pathologically narcissistic people count on the fact that no one will believe the victim about the things that have happened. That doesn't mean they didn't. Number four, don't assume that because somebody is not a therapist or a doctor, they don't know what they're talking about. Many victims know more about this disorder and this problem than the people they're coming to for help. Don't just dismiss their information or their theories. Therapists and counselors should remember that they are seeing the person for an hour at a time in a very controlled, validating setting, whereas the victim has been living with the situation, and often the narcissist, 24 hours a day for months or even years. Number five, don't dismiss or invalidate someone's claims of abuse because you don't understand them or you're unfamiliar with them. Don't assume that the victim cannot communicate properly or try to negotiate them out of what they're saying. Now, these things are, of course, not to say that people who are not clinicians can diagnose somebody. What it is saying is that things should not be dismissed simply because someone is unfamiliar with them or because the person reporting it does not have a medical degree. People know how they feel. They know what happened. Narcissistic abuse can also be difficult to detect, especially considering that victims may not even realize they're being abused. It can be very subtle. If you deal with couples or families, chances are good that you have or you will eventually deal with narcissistic abuse, especially in situations that involve domestic violence. Listen with an open mind and learn to catch the red flags, because if situations that involve narcissists must be handled differently, and they must, then it's important that they be recognized in the first place. Now, here is a list of 20 red flags that could suggest that the couple or family you're dealing with might have issues with narcissistic abuse. Please note that, as with all red flags, the appearance of any or even all of these does not guarantee the existence of pathological narcissism in the situation. Rather, they should alert the therapist to evaluate the situation for other signs of abuse. Note also that it doesn't matter which person appears to be throwing the red flags. It's not uncommon for narcissistic people to engage in projection. So it doesn't really matter who is saying these things. If they are being said at all, that should be a red flag. If narcissistic abuse is indeed present in the situation, the abuser will reveal themselves to the astute observer. So number one, perception of reported events differs radically. Disputes over tone, over motive, over what was said, how it was said, these kinds of things. A lot of times people will say something completely different than what the other person is saying. That should be a red flag. Number two, someone appears overly concerned with being right or getting the therapist to be on their side. You have to really watch for signs of triangulation because that is extremely common. Number three, there is a very clear and persistent hero, villain, or victim/victimizer narrative. Number four, other people's motives are assumed and situations are related from an emotional perspective, not a factual one. You hear that from narcissists all the time. Number five, one partner is extremely confused or bewildered, but the other one is very sure of things. Number six, there is resistance to or an inability to take even basic responsibility or blame, even for mistakes. Number seven, there is an unwillingness or an inability to see things from the other person's perspective. Number eight, there is an inability to give specific details or concrete examples when someone is asked. You see that with narcissists all the time. They'll say things like, this person was so terrible to me, they abused me so terribly, but if you ask them for a specific detail or example, a lot of times you will not get one. Many times you will hear a narcissist repeating the same statements verbatim as well. Number 10, resolutions suggested for problems are resisted, ignored, maligned, or dismissed. They may also be accepted, but never actually put into action. And when you bring this up, a lot of times you will hear that it's the other person's fault. 11. Disputes all seem to center around one particular person, especially if they involve that person feeling consistently rejected, neglected, ignored, that kind of thing. Number 12. Someone reports that they are consistently accused of things they never said, didn't do, or of having motives and feelings they do not have. Number 13. Someone reports that the behavior of another person in therapy is very different from the way they behave at home. That should be a big red flag. Number 14, someone consistently reports that nothing they do is good enough for somebody else. Number 15, there are continued attempts to control or manipulate the conversation or to qualify what other people are saying. There also may be consistent interruptions. 16, there is an inability to respond directly to what is being said or an inability to directly answer a question even when they're asked more than one time. This person may be actively not listening. Number 17, someone feels the need to continuously apologize, explain, or seems to fear that they will be misunderstood. You will see that with victims of narcissistic abuse. Number 18, someone reports that they feel bad about the relationship or their role in the relationship, but they don't really know why. Number 19, someone reports feeling that they're going crazy or that they feel like a different person now since they've been in this relationship. Number 20 is any other obvious gaslighting, projection, blame shifting, or otherwise obvious manipulation. Narcissistic abuse is on the rise in communities all over the world. Therapists, counselors, and healers of all kinds are among the first responders on this battlefield, dealing with the casualties of this unfortunate epidemic. Arm yourself as much as possible so you can help those who need it the most. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, or suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text message, messenger, and through email. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book and appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I teach workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in seeing what we have going on right now, you can visit littleshaman.org, and you can also register through there as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.